Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about forgiving yourself. Some time ago, I read an article that someone had written about the imaginary interview that a lady had with Judas. And after he had betrayed Jesus, the interview went something like this. The woman says to Judas, How would your Lord Jesus feel about forgiveness of sinners like yourself? Judas replied, he would forgive them in their repentance. He would love them even as sinners. And then he says, I can't forgive myself. Later the woman says to Judas, it seems your despair and guilt are greater than the forgiveness promised by your God. And Judas answers, yes, that's right. I would rather die than be forgiven, as I am now. Judas repented. He took the 30 pieces of silver, and he took it back and gave it back to the people that gave it to him. And I believe that God would have forgiven Judas and loved him if Judas had asked for forgiveness. But now the trouble is that Judas wouldn't forgive himself. A fact of life is that no one is perfect. No one goes through life making all the right decisions. Everyone makes bad choices, wrong decisions, and horrendous mistakes in judgment. There are many people who cannot forgive themselves. They constantly blame themselves for something that happened in the past. Somewhat like Judas, they say to themselves, I know God loves me and God will forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. Actually, they're harder on themselves than our Lord Jesus is. They continually blame themselves or they blame others for what they did to them. And in either case, they keep telling themselves, nobody loves me. I'm nothing, and I deserve my situation in life. Just about everyone has had these feelings of despair and guilt at some time in their lives. And what's important is not that we have these feelings, but what we do about them. I was reading a book about people and what they have God has done for them. I came across the account of Clifton Davis. I don't know if you remember Clifton Davis, but he had these feelings about himself. You may remember Clifton Davis. He was a Reuben Gregory on the TV series Amen years ago. You may not know that Clifton Davis is a minister of the gospel in real life. Well, it goes back to Christmas 1980. Clifton Davis hit the bottom in his life. He grew up as a preacher's kid that left the church to become an actor on Broadway. He played in Hello, Dolly with Pearl Bailey and later came to Hollywood for parts in movies and TV. He made plenty of money, and he began living a life of wine, women, and song with alcohol and cocaine. And then he became addicted to cocaine and wasted thousands and thousands of dollars. He even lost his Hollywood Hills home on cocaine and alcohol. By December 1980, he was drinking a quart of vodka every day, and he was skin and bones. He says, I spent most of my day in a drab apartment. A terrible heaviness took over me. I felt there was nothing left for me. With my last $1,000, I bought drugs and planned to take an overdose and kill myself. I got a hammer and I nailed my apartment door shut. I scrawled my will on a linen napkin and left it on the table. And this was on Christmas Day. All Christmas Day, he hunched on his bed, arms locked around his knees, preparing to take the final dose. Sometime during the day, the phone rang. For a while, he says, I wasn't even aware of it, but slowly it bore into my consciousness. I picked up the receiver. It was my preacher brother. He told me that the whole family was worried about me. He said that my mother dreamed that I was dying. The whole family was at Jacksonville, North Carolina, and they decided not to go out and open their presents on Christmas Eve. Instead, they had an all-night prayer meeting for him. I yelled at the phone, leave me alone. His brother said, God told us to keep trying. We love you. God loves you. We want you to live. And then his brother continued, God gave me a Bible verse for you. And it's Daniel, the 12th chapter in the 3rd verse. And then he repeated it over the phone to him. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And they will turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Then there was a complete silence on the phone. And then he said, Clifton, God wants you to be a star in his for him. And then he said, Clifton, will you kneel down and pray with me right now? Then Clifton prayed, and he prayed over and over again, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he said, I cried, and gradually I felt that I was being overburdened by all those terrible years of running away from God. I sensed Jesus standing by me, and I knew without a doubt that he'd been there standing by me all this time, just waiting for me. I cried, all right, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Do with it as you will. I can't promise you anything because I'm so weak. Tomorrow I might get high again, but if you take care of me today, I'll try my best to recommit my life to you tomorrow. He continued, as I laid on the cold floor, a gentle hand seemed to touch my head and a warm peace filled my being. Sometime during my prayer, I had put the phone back on the cradle. As I rose to my feet, my head seemed clearer than it had been in years. Strange, I felt no need for cocaine. And that night I left my apartment and somehow I reached the LA airport, caught a plane to Jacksonville. Clifton went back and finished college and seminary. He married his girlfriend and he has a son and a daughter, and he named his son and daughter Noel and Holly, to mark the day that he forgave himself and began a new life with God. And he has influenced millions of people as he portrayed that minister on Amen. Well, that's it. That's the only way I know to forgive yourself. Turn your life completely over to God and experience God's forgiving love. Realize that God created you and me and he gave us the freedom of choice, and God knows that we're not going to always make right choices in our lives. He knows we are not perfect. He knows we need help living in our lives. And then, praise God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into our world and into our lives to show us that he forgives us and that he will help us to live lives that are not paralyzed by the sins and mistakes of the past. We can forgive ourselves and begin a new life free from the sins that have bound us up so long. Think about it. The Apostle Paul in the Bible was a murderer. He signed the death warrant of Stephen. If it hadn't been for Paul, Stephen would not have been murdered. Paul could have gone through life punishing himself for murdering Stephen. But Paul found the forgiveness of God and he forgave himself and became the greatest Christian that has ever lived. Through his letters in the New Testament, he has helped millions of men and women over 2,000 years find forgiveness and love and strength. Think what would have happened if Paul had not forgiven himself. Those millions of men and women would not have found the living Christ, and they would have lived defeated lives. And what about us today in our lives and our pain over the past? What do we blame ourselves for? Beyond the wrong choices and mistakes we've made, many people today blame themselves for things beyond their control. A son or daughter is raised in a Christian home, leaves home, turns her back on the parents and the Christian way of life. It's not their fault. A couple are very much in love. They marry, and then something goes wrong, and they get divorced. It's not their fault. An aging mother or father suffers a stroke or a heart attack and dies. It's nobody's fault. Somebody has an accident that leaves them incapacitated. It's not their fault. A loved one comes down with a sickness and we think might have been prevented. It's not our fault. What can we do in an imperfect world with circumstances beyond our control? There is only one solution. That solution is to put our complete faith and trust in God and turn the whole matter over to God. Surrender that person or the feelings of that situation over to God and let God have it. Ask and receive God's forgiveness and then forgive ourselves. Trust God completely and pray for the person or the situation and leave it in God's hands. And keep praying for that person or that situation every day, giving it to God every day. And then get on with your life. Ask God to help you and lead and guide you in the way that you should go. Everything begins with prayer. If you don't know God personally and you've never given your life to God, then pray the prayer that Clifton Davis prayed. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then with those who have given their lives to God, pray, all right, Lord, I surrender my life to you. You do with it what you will. I'll try my best to live as you want me to live. Amen. Now is the time for us to forgive ourselves. Let's have a time of silent prayer. In this period of silence, give your life to God again. And just pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and I surrender my life to you. Do with it what you will, and help me to forgive myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives. Help us to forgive ourselves. Lead and guide us individually and as your church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The last Sunday of every month, we have a time for prayer and healing. And now we will have that time of prayer and healing. I believe in prayers for healing. Throughout my ministry, As an Air Force chaplain and pastor, as many of you know, and have read my account in the amazing ministry of an Air Force chaplain, on my first base, I prayed for God to heal a lady that the doctors expected to die one night when her family was called to the hospital. And after I prayed for her healing, I didn't see her for 1 week, and then the next week, she surprised me because she was still alive, and she said, "I'm going to get well, and I'm going to be with you and come to your church." And from that time on, I've prayed for God to heal anyone in need of healing, either when they're present or living far away. Recently, some amazing healings have happened to and for members and friends of our church. And that leads me to say that God is still healing people today, thank the good Lord. As for prayers for people far away, Linda and I prayed for a teenage girl who ran away from home. And this girl returned to her parents and is living with them now. Something astounding just happened to me this past week, and I've just got to share it with you. I guess you all know Ann Waddell. She had an operation on her left knee, and a staph infection got in there, and she had a stiff leg for about 8 weeks. And she called me last week and told me that her right knee was enlarged, and she said, "I don't want an operation on that knee. I went to her home to see her last Tuesday afternoon, and sure enough, the right knee was swollen all around her leg. I said, "Let's pray for healing for that right knee." I put my hands around that knee and prayed for God to heal it, and then I left. On Thursday afternoon, I went by to pick up some cassettes. She is our cassette minister, and she dubs our cassettes. And I said, "How's your right knee?" And she said, "It's fine. All the swelling's gone, and God is healing that knee." And I'm amazed. I was really amazed. And our God is a great God, and God is healing us today. This morning, we're privileged to have a lady who will share with us how God is healing her. She is Rosalind, and about 2 months ago, I met Roz at a Presbytery meeting. She was sitting next to me. We had a standing break, you know, to stretch, you know how they do. It was a boring meeting, kind of boring. And I gave her one of our newsletters and the amazing ministry of the Air Force chaplain, you know. And she's here this morning to tell you about this wonderful God that we have and that we worship every day. Because at the end, she turned to me and asked me to pray for her. And then we had prayer.
Good morning. It wasn't totally boring meeting, but they do get long. And I was sitting there, and I passed, Rich passed me papers about his healing experiences, and I passed him a pamphlet on Project 615. So there was a lot of paper shuffling. But when I started reading his healing experiences, I realized that God was asking me to ask him to heal. For healing. I had a doctor's appointment the next day. I've had diabetes over 35 years, and I'm legally blind in my left eye. What I had been told by my doctor was that my right eye was also, was not stable. And, I'm out of seminary. I want to finish my degree, and the news was devastating. But still in my heart, I, from my doctor's office, put on praise music and just thank God for everything he's done through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was no accident that Rich and I were sitting next to each other at this presbytery meeting, getting a little bit bored and shuffling papers to each other. So when we had a break, I turned to him and I said, would you pray for me? I'm seeing my eye doctor tomorrow, and I need my retina to be stable. And he prayed, and I went to the doctor, and he said, it looks stable. And I said, well, that's not what my optometrist told me. I need proof. So he said, well, it's been 20 years since we took out pictures of the back of your retina, so we'll do that. And that was more comforting. The next week I went and had pictures taken of the back of my retina, and he said, it's stable. Whatever your optometrist saw is no longer there. And the optometrist had taken an hour with me and documented all the instability in the retina, but it was not there when the ophthalmologist took the pictures. And I just give all the thanks and praise to God, because there's no other explanation. I ask for your continued prayers for improved vision. That would be great, and I know that God has that for me in the future. Even today. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.